Revelation chapter 22. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to try to preach tonight what I'm calling a look at fast. I read once of a minister who was aboard a train, and he was reading his Bible. And there was a gentleman that was sitting across from him that was reading a news tabloid that is named News of the World. And several of his acquaintances were commenting concerning various things that was in that tabloid News of the World. Well, they suddenly realized that this man holding the Bible, who was a minister, was the only one that was not involved in their conversation, and they noticed that he was reading a Bible. And the minister spoke up and said to those gentlemen, he said, You all are reading of news that is in the world. He said, I have a book that's telling me of the news of a world to come. Have you ever noticed Revelation 1 and 3? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, for you Bible students, you will perhaps remember that there are seven beatitudes in the book of the Revelation. Seven times you will see the word blessed. Here is the first blessed. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear at the words of this prophecy and keep. So what must we do in regard to the revelation? What does this book hold to us? What does this book mean to us? It means to us there is something in here that we must read. It tells us there are things in here that we need to hear. And then having read and having heard, we are to keep them within our heart and in our lives. Why must we do that? For the time is at hand. Revelation 1 and 3, and then also Revelation 22 and verse 10. Two times you find that expression, the time is at hand, or rather simply, the time is near. My friend, you can listen to the radio, you can pick up a newspaper, you can look at a Time magazine or a U.S. News and World Report, and it is very, very evident the time is at hand. We are living in the last days. We are in the very last of the last days. We are in that time of the great falling away. We are in that time that the prophet spoke of. Amen. Concerning Daniel. And I won't go into all of that tonight. But we know that the end of all things are right here upon us. And Paul told us that in the last days perilous times shall come. Amen. Jesus told us of the things that would happen. Jesus told us of the things that would transpire. So I want to preach to you tonight that we're blessed. We are blessed. Amen. That we can read in the book look and we can understand the things which are now. Amen. And the things which shall be hereafter. Hallelujah. Now they are three last, if you will, that are found here in these verses of Scripture that I've read with you. And perhaps you've already seen them. There is the last welcome. There is the last warning. And then they are the last words. Let's go back to verse number 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. There it is. There's the last welcome. That's the last invitation that God gives. That's the last invitation that the Lord gives. You know, I think it's very, very important that you note with me that it is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that first makes the invitation. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost is the inspiration of this book. Holy men of old spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Do you believe with me tonight that this Bible is Holy Ghost breathed? Amen. That this Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And so when you see this last welcome, when you see this last invitation in this singular word, come, it comes from the Spirit, first of all. How many of you will agree with me that no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him? We come to God only by the Spirit's bidding. Amen. In the book of Genesis, when God saw that men were wicked, amen, and full of iniquity, and their heart was on evil continually, God said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. The Holy Ghost is God's agent that deals with human heart. Amen. And here at the last welcome, the last invitation, the last time that He speaks to man in bids him come. It is first by the Holy Ghost that He says come. But look here at this invitation. It's not only the Spirit that says come, but it's the Bride that says come. Amen. There ought to be something within the church that tells that sinner man, would you come? There ought to be something in the church that tells that lost individual, would you come? There ought to be something within us that says, would you come? Amen. And him that heareth, that one that has received that living water, that one that's just got a drink of that living water, let him also say, come. Look at this last welcome. What does it say to us? It tells us the invitation is now extended. The Spirit and the Bride and him that heareth, they say, come. The invitation is now extended. You see, friend, we are living in the dispensation of grace. How many of you know what an open door policy is? An open door policy is simply this. It says that the door is open. Come anytime you can. Come anytime you desire. The door is never locked. You're always welcome. Just come when you get ready. Amen. As long as the church is here, the Spirit and the Bride says come. Amen. As long as God has the church here, the Holy Ghost is with the church. And the open door policy, amen, is for every individual. Would you come? The door is not locked. The door is open. Mercy's door stands open wide to all of humanity, to those that are athirst, to those that need that spiritual living water. The door is open, and all you've got to do is come. You remember there in Genesis 7 and 1, and God said unto Noah, come. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. It was a step of faith. Amen. It was by obedience that Noah had built that ark. The obedience of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark by which he condemned the world to the saving of his house. And God said to Noah, come. That's the grandest word in all the Bible. Amen. A word of invitation. Over and over in the Scripture, you find that word, come. It tells me that the invitation is wide open, and all you've got to do is come. And so God said to Noah, before he visited the world in judgment, before he brought wrath upon all humanity, God said to Noah, because of what? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Time is grace's invitation. I want to tell you that God is going to judge this world again in wrath and judgment. But before he judges the world, he's going to say to the church, come. Hallelujah. Amen. And just as Noah and those that accepted salvation by faith put their lives, put their families, and all their possessions within the ark, amen, and God kept them safe, I want to tell you, God is going to keep the church safe. Amen. God's got a place prepared for the church. Glory to God. And he's going to say to the church, come. Amen. Come is the grandest word of all the Bible. Amen. You've read it. I have. Isaiah 1 and 18. Come. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Just simply come. Come, talk it over with God. Come and reason with him. Come and reason with the Lord. But Jesus also gives that invitation. He extends that invitation to all men. For he said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus says to the downtrodden, and Jesus says to the distressed, and to all who are discouraged, would you come to me? Amen. And that's what the Spirit is still saying. Would you just come? Would you come? Hallelujah. In John 7 and 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and I will give him drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, because he was not yet glorified. Do you see that, my friend? There is the invitation to the sinner, come into the ark. There is the invitation to the discouraged, come and reason with me. There is the invitation to the weary, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There is the invitation to the thirsty, would you just come to me, and I will give you drink. Amen. Well, that's the invitation, and it's wide open. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And so in Genesis 7 and 1, and God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. But have you ever noticed verse number 4 of Genesis? God said, and yet 7 days, and I will reign upon the earth. I personally believe that God left that door open for a time to give all those who stood without an opportunity to make a decision to follow Noah and his family in. For the Bible said in 1 Peter 3 and 20, when once, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God left the door open and he waited. Aren't you glad he waited on you? Now, I did not get saved the first time Holy Ghost conviction dealt with my heart. I got saved when I was very young. But I didn't get saved the first time the Lord dealt with me. And most of you probably didn't either. Aren't you glad God waited? Oh, how many times did the Spirit woo And how many times did the Holy Ghost seek to win your heart? But you turned Him aside. You spurned His grace. And you rejected His pleas. But the long suffering of God waited. Amen. And so the desire of the church should all should be that which is of the Spirit. The Spirit says, come. And so the bride says, come. Sometimes we get weary waiting on people. We get weary forbearing with them. Amen. We get so tired of putting up with their, amen, wicked ways. Oh, the things that the devil causes them to do. But listen to Brother MacDonald. As long as the Spirit's waiting, can't we afford to wait? Won't we just give God just a little bit more time? Amen. You know, there's some people, I said, that's a hopeless case there. There's no way that they'll ever get saved. But the Holy Ghost continued to wait. The Holy Ghost continued to deal. And God waited. Oh, my friend, I'm glad He waited. But there's a pathetic note about this. Not only the invitation is now extended, but one day the invitation will be ended. For in Genesis 7 and 16, and the Bible said concerning Noah and his son, and his wives, their wives, and his wife, the eight that were saved. The Bible said in Genesis 7 and 16, and the Lord shut him in. What does that verse of Scripture teach me? It tells me there is a limitation to religious opportunity. There comes a time when mercy's door is shut. There comes a time when God says, I've dealt with that person all. I'm going to deal with them. May I say unto you that when the Holy Ghost is taken out of this world, God is simply saying, I have shut the church in. I have taken the church out. Amen. I have reserved the ungodly for judgment. I have reserved the iniquitous, amen, for wrath. And God shuts the door on humanity. The Bible said, Jesus speaking in Matthew 24 and 37, as it was in the days of Noah, amen, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 38, for they were eating and they were drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that the flood came, and they knew it not, and they were taken all away. One of these days, God is going to shut the door on humanity, and it'll be too late then. Oh, God. Too late. So the dearest word of all the Bible is this word of the bride and this word of the church. That dear word is come. But if there is a dearest word, there must be also a most dreadful word. And that word is the word that those whose names are not found written in the book of life. And that word is depart. What are you going to hear Him say? What are you going to hear Him say? Come or depart. The last welcome. The last welcome. What is it? Simply, come. But look now at verses 18 and verses 19. Here's the last warning. The last warning. John is inspired of the Holy Ghost to warn all of us. You know, isn't it amazing that when you study the Bible that you realize in the book of Genesis, before the serpent ever appeared, that God's word to man was a warning? Before the serpent ever spoke to the woman, there was a warning from God. Anybody going to help me while I preach? And now here at the last, here at the close of the book, John, inspired of the Holy Ghost, concludes this great book with a warning. And it's simply this. In verse number 18, I could say it in this sum. There is to be no addition to the Word of God. And then in verse number 19, I could say it in this. There is to be no subtraction from the Word of God. You see, when that serpent began that conversation with Mother Eve, who was the mother of all living, amen, what happened? She began to add unto the Word of God. And because of that, the curse of sin came in. She did not obey the Word of life, and she and her husband were banned from the tree of life. Would you say amen? There is to be no addition. So in Revelation 22 and verse number 18, John said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto thee plagues that are written in this book. Now those plagues are threefold. They are comprised of the seals, amen, that will be broken. And they are comprised of the vials that will be opened. And they are of the trumpets that will be sounded. And God said, the man that adds to the book of this prophecy, those plagues shall come upon him. Oh God. What does that verse tell us? Do not make any addition to the Word of God. Never twist the truth. Never rest the Scriptures. Never try to take the Word of God and turn it. You know, people have a way sometimes of taking Scripture, pieces of Scripture. Amen. And that is one rule, Brother Clifford, that you never break, amen, in preaching. Let me give a little bit of schooling here tonight to Brother Clifford. Amen. You always take a text right out of the text. You never take it out of context. The first rule of scripture, of scriptural interpretation is this. Always allow the scripture to interpret itself. When you want to know what a scripture means, read the verses above it and read those beneath it. Never add anything to it. Would you say amen? Oh, we got a whole lot of people that would like to add some things to the Word of God. But John said, if you add anything, amen, to the book of this prophecy, the plague shall be added unto you. Last warning. Don't you ever add to the Word of God. And then verse number 19. There is to be no subtraction. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written, which are written in this book. A last warning. There shall be no addition. There shall be no subtraction. I want tonight to just very briefly make sure that we understand that every word in this Bible is infallible. Every word in this Bible is inerrant. Every word in this Bible is unadulterated. And every word of this Bible must never be compromised. Help me while I preach. You will be judged by the words that are written in this book. Now you may write you another Bible, and you might write a book, amen, that suits your lifestyle. You may, amen, come to church, and while the preachers are preaching, close your ears and harden your heart to things that are written in this book. But I want to tell you, you will be judged by the things that are written in this book. Every chapter in this Bible, of every book in this Bible, it is relevant, and it is to be revered, and it is to be respected. Every word in this Bible is with
without contradiction, and it does not need correction. Would the church shout amen? God never backtracks on his word. He never has to say, I said the wrong thing. He never has to retrace his steps and come back and say it the second time. No, my friend, there's no addition and there's no subtraction. God said it. His word is final. Amen. He's drawn the line. He's come to the end of the sentence. This is God's first and last word to man. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the word of God.
The canon of scriptures, and by the canon of scriptures, we mean this which has been given to us as Holy Ghost inspired, is to never be rewritten or re-edited. Me personally, I'm sold on the King James text. It was first translated into English from Latin in what we call the 1611 Bible, and it was translated into Old English, and all the way up until the 19th century, there has been some of the Old English words that have been easily adapted to our vernacular. But by and large, what you have here, amen, is the King James Bible. And I believe that it's what God wants us to have. There were men that died for this book. You see, amen, the church, quote unquote, did not want the common man to have the Word of God. Men such as Ridley and Latimer and Wycliffe, amen, in the 17th century, amen, the early 1600s, some of them were burned at the stake because they wanted to put the Latin Bible into English for the common man. Oh, help me, Lord. But now of late, there are so many that want to give us the New King James Bible and the New International Perversion is what I call it. But when you look at those texts, you understand that they did not go back to the, amen, the Receptus text. They did not go back, amen, to the Greek Septuagint. They did not go back, amen, unto the Latin, amen, that the King James interpreters went to. But they opened a book and they put their own words in. My friend, I believe we ought to take what God has given us and what God has allowed us to have. I know one old preacher was made fun of because he said, well, the King James Bible was good enough for Paul and it's good enough for me. I've got enough sense to know that Paul read out of a Latin and a Greek Bible. But I also know, I believe God gave us this English Bible. And we ought to be thankful for the Word of God. Amen. So the last warning that God gives to us is that we must never make an addition and we must never make a subtraction from this book. Have you ever read Jeremiah 37? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 37 that Jeremiah gave a prophecy. And Baruch wrote concerning the prophecy of Jeremiah. And on down in Jeremiah 37, Jehudi went before Jehoiakim the king, and he read the words of the prophecy of Jeremiah. And you know what Jehoiakim the king done? After he had heard the words of the prophecy, the Bible said that he took the scroll He took the words of that prophecy, and he took his penknife, and he cut it, and he cast it into the fire. But you know the thing about that chapter that amazes me? The Bible said after Jehoiakim had took the prophecy and he had cut it with his penknife and he cast it into the fire, the Bible said that those that were with him, they were not afraid as they saw, amen, that prophecy burning. They were not afraid. I've pastored people like that. Amen. I've known some for years. They think nothing of discounting and discrediting the Word of God. I wish you'd help me while I preach a while. Amen. I feel sorry for Paul, Brother Butch, and Sister Shirley, and Brother Marty. Amen. Because everybody just wants to throw it, amen, behind them. And the poor old guy in the sound booth, amen, he just gets it all. Are you going to help me while I preach? Amen. If so-and-so would have been here, they would have needed that. You know why you heard it? Because you need it. You know why the preacher preached it? Because you need it. You know why the man of God preached faithfulness? Because you need to be faithful.